If you don't know SiriusXM, then listen up. Commercial-free music, plus sports, comedy, talk, and news. They have it all. And right now, you can get your first 3 months of SiriusXM outside the car for just $1. Go to SiriusXM.com/busted to see offer details and to subscribe. Offer available to new SiriusXM streaming subscribers. SiriusXM, no car required.
This is the Busted Open Podcast. You can listen to the full show weekdays from 9 a.m. to 12 p.m. Eastern on SiriusXM Fight Nation, channel 156.
Welcome to the Busted Open Podcast. This is Dave LaGreca. On today's episode, WWE Hall of Famer Mark Henry and I talk about NXT from this past Wednesday.
And not only are we going to talk about NXT, we're going to talk about the serious, loving response that everybody's given to NXT for being a new show on a new network.
That's right. They got a big rating. We'll tell you all about that. Speaking of NXT, Kenny Omega of AEW, we talked a little bit about him and some of the comments he made, Mark, about the NXT roster.
Yeah, I think that this is going to be something interesting. I think we should hear from Kenny in a few days. I think that this is going to be a lot of negative fallout. So let's look forward to hearing this on the podcast.
And Mark, you have some interesting things to say about that. And of course, we have an interview that everyone is talking about, and that's our sit-down interview with Enzo and some of his comments in a positive way about his old tag team partner and friend, Big Cass.
Yeah, and this is something that's sensitive. So if you have not heard, this is the podcast to listen to.
All that right now on the Busted Open Podcast. Morrow's just so good. We talked about this yesterday with Bully. How great is Morrow?
Not like this. Not like this. Oh, my God, he's so good, man. Golly. I want him on every show. I mean, maybe that's being a little overzealous for me, but as a fan, like, is there anybody that gets you more excited about wrestling calls as Morrow?
He's amazing, man. And he has tremendous chemistry with Beth Phoenix and Nigel McGuinness.
Mamma mia!
No, mama effing mia.
Mama effing mia!
That's the best call.
It is awesome, man. It's awesome. I love the fact, too, one of my favorite stories involving you, Mark, is when we went to TakeOver in Brooklyn a couple years back, and it's you, Alex, and I, and we're right behind the commentating team where they're about to do the takeover. And then we're going through takeover, and it's in between matches, and you tap on Morrow's shoulder, and you grab his attention, and you just point at me. You're like pointing at me, and he's looking at me, and you're pointing at me, and you're like smiling. And then Morrow turned around, and it's almost like it didn't compute, so like you got his attention again, and you're pointing at me, and Morrow's just looking at me, and you keep pointing at me. And I'm like, yeah, Mark, I never met Morrow before. I've spoken to him on the phone, but I've never met him. And you're like, oh, well, I thought you knew him.
I thought you knew him.
Tremendous. I mean, he is and honestly, what a story with Morrow, too, with a lot of his battles and what he's had to overcome and even the movement. And what he does just, not even in the world of pro wrestling, but combat sports. I mean, here we are on Fight Nation. We covered the whole gamut of combat sports. So does Morrow, and he tells a tremendous story. So he does both. He explains what's going on in the ring, and he also gets you excited and passionate about what's going on in the ring. Man, he is tremendous, and right now he may be one of the best that's doing it.
Well, I mean, definitely he's one of the best that's doing it, but, like, the question is number two. Like, right now, I think that Morrow is, like, the number one guy, and because of his energy level. He's just powerful. Like, I really, really enjoy him when I hear him making the calls. I still think that Jim Ross is the most knowledgeable and has the biggest reach of any announcer living. But like, man, like he is right on Jim's heels.
Wow. And listen, Jim Ross is the greatest that's ever done. I think we both agree.
Ain't no doubt.
Jim Ross is the best. But I think when we have that discussion, and like, you know, we like to do to our list shows and our Mount Rushmore shows, Mark. And you look at the greatest commentators in pro wrestling history. Jim Ross is number one. And you can throw out, you know,
the
Gordon Solis, the Lance Russells, the Bob Caudles, you know, the Bill Mercers, you go on and on. When we're having that discussion a decade from now, 20 years from now, Morrow is going to be in that conversation.
Yeah, he will. And I don't know if there'll be another crew when we start talking about groups.
Mm-hmm.
Like Jerry Lawler and Jim Ross together was magic, and Bobby Heenan and Gorilla Monsoon were great.
Yep.
Like, there's been a bunch of people. You know, I thought Bradshaw and Booker T were great. I thought they were very entertaining. Like, it was fun to listen to. Like, Bradshaw was very good, and I think that he's one that should come back. I mean, he's got a lot to give.
One thing I loved about JBL on commentary is he always kind of referenced things that happened in the past in the history of pro wrestling. He'd throw out a Stan Hansen or a Bruiser Brody or a Lou Fez or a Bruno Sammartino. And I love when commentators do that because it brings everybody into the conversation. So if you're an older fan, hey, now you can relate to what's going on in the ring now. And if you're a younger fan, that's going to make you want to go maybe now to the WWE Network and see some of those old matches. JBL, I'm with you. Completely underrated when it came to commentating.
Yeah, and he found a way to also make the wrestler legitimate. Like, you know, he brought about that, whoever that wrestler he was talking about, he talked about their past. He talked about the accomplishments that they made. This is a guy that won the NCAA finals and was an Olympian or competed in the All-Army. Like, he always had some statistic about that individual talent. And that took a lot of studying and preparation. And I respected that.
Well, let's get back to Morrow. We're talking about how great Morrow is at what he does. He's doing it for the NXT brand right now, and now it's gone on to the USA Cable Network live for an hour on USA this past Wednesday. And before we get into the actual show and the matches, and I know you loved a lot of what you saw, especially in that first hour, Mark, let's talk about what they were able to do in reaching out to that fan. How about this? 1.2 million viewers for that first hour on Wednesday on USA. I think that's a tremendous number, and I think that's a win for NXT.
I do, too. It's definitely a win, and, you know, we're going to get into it later on, but I don't think that that's developmental numbers. I think that's seasoned veteran numbers. There's not many people that I've been around that can pull those kind of numbers. And we've had shows like Velocity, Heat.
Yep, I know.
You know, like even SmackDown.
Main Event, Superstars.
Yeah, when we first started, that wasn't getting those numbers.
Think about that. And you had talent that the audience knew. Right now, a lot of people, especially those who don't have the network, and we're talking about a small number in comparison. Look, the people who tuned in probably equals right around the people who subscribe to the WWE Network, Mark. And you're going to get a lot of new viewers that watch Raw and watch SmackDown that never have seen it. We talked to listeners yesterday, Mark, that called in that said they had never watched NXT before because, hey, they saw it as a developmental brand. So why would I spend time watching like tryouts or a developmental brand? But they are showing, like you said, this is a third brand. There's no more main roster. It's SmackDown, it's Raw, and it's NXT. And one thing that Triple H said, which I thought was fascinating and a great call, Triple H, when he was asked about it, he was not so much worried about that first number on that first show because he knows in time that number is going to grow. He didn't need the big bang week one. Hey, a lot of people don't realize who these wrestlers are, but they're going to learn who they are. They're going to get to know who they are. They are going to be part of the mainstream. So this number, which 1.2, that's going to grow in time. And also a great job by the WWE and Triple H not putting on any wrestlers from Raw or SmackDown on this show. This was completely on the back of the roster of NXT, Mark.
And I think it was intentionally done to prove to the locker room, like, this is your show. Like, if somebody comes in, they're going to be somebody that was NXT royalty before they left and went to Raw or SmackDown. And when they come back, it's not going to be like, hey, this is you're over. Like, we're equals. You know, so I think it's going to be great.
And they have talent on this roster. And you notice, we're going to get into the Bianca Belairs, who are a tremendously athletic. And you talk about personality and character that can win over an audience. Velveteen Dream is that guy as well. I mean, I really think 6 months down the road, 8 months down the road, when we're having this conversation next year, we're going to look at the numbers for NXT, and they're going to be close to a Monday night, and they're going to be close to a Friday night, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think the numbers are going to be very similar, and everybody is going to love what they see on that show. And you can't discredit the talent. Like, a lot of times you think that it's just the production. You know, nobody is I guess you can't say that the office or the company is the one that's pushing it. The talent is going to push what this show is going to be. It's not going to just be all the bells and whistles.
And they didn't deviate from what they normally do on Wednesdays on the network. You talk about bells and whistles. You get a lot of bells and whistles on SmackDown and Raw. This was very simple. This was very old school. And they kept to the NXT plan. And I'm glad that they didn't change anything from what we saw Wednesday night.
Yeah, I mean, that's important. You want the show to be what the fans have been clamoring and talking about. You don't want to give them a brand new product that people are like, what is this? So, you know, we just have to keep that in mind.
Like what you're hearing? Catch Busted Open live weekdays from 9 a.m. to 12 p.m. Eastern on SiriusXM Fight Nation, channel 156, or on demand with the SiriusXM app.
We talked about the rating that they pop, which is very, very good. What did you think about the first hour, especially on what we saw on USA, Mark?
Man, I thought it was unbelievable. And the thing that I liked the most was, you remember how we talked about at Madison Square Garden, how the microphone would come from the ceiling? They had the spotlight in the middle of the ring.
Yep.
And like, it gave me that feel. And I love the way that they lit how the introductions of the talent. And man, even the WWE decided, you know what? I think Mark Henry was right. Let's do that. And they actually did that on Raw and SmackDown and at the pay-per-view.
I liked it, you know, because like I talked about the old school feel, like, you know, it's lit when the entrances are happening. And then as soon as the match starts, as soon as they ring the bell, the audience goes dark. They dim the lights. I love that. You know why? Because you're not focused on signs in the audience. You're not focused about, are people cheering? Are people standing? Are people sitting? You're just focused and concentrated on, as you should be, on the action in the ring.
Yeah. And before we get too far off, mm-hmm. I just want to send a shout out to Matt Camp.
Yes.
Last year I beat him in his fantasy league. And I didn't get an invite this year.
Well, wait a second. See, I thought you're going to give Matt Camp a shout out because now he's part of the WWE universe, which means we'll never hear from him again. So you did not get an invite. So he's
I didn't win. I didn't win. I came in sixth, but I was ahead of him, and I figured that had something to do with me not being invited into the league this year.
Wow, so you could take this one of two ways. Matt Camp didn't invite you because A, you beat him, or B, he's just completely cut ties with Busted Open.
Oh, maybe. Maybe it's you just don't want to think about us.
Well, I'm just glad that he's got this wrestling thing to fall back on. Because it's fantasy sports. Oof. Coming in seventh in your own league.
He don't know shit about football. And then I come in and I kick him in the gut and give him a world's strongest slam through a table. That's what happened. Just saying.
And
okay, back to business at hand.
And congratulations to Matt Camp, too, with getting the new gig with
WWE. Man, that's really good. That's really good.
Congratulations to him. And then, as Bully said, he's now dead to us, so we'll never mention his name again after this week. It's part
Matt
of the Evil
Camp
Empire.
Is on NICU.
Well, the two matches that really grabbed my attention, especially in that first hour, obviously, was the first match with the women, which was fantastic, and then Velveteen Dream and Roderick Strong for that NXT North American Championship. Were you surprised that we had a new champion? Are you surprised that Undisputed Era has all the gold?
No, I'm not, because, you know, in years past, factions have always kind of led pro wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
And now you have more of the same. You have the rest of the organization chasing one group, and that one group can dominate because they can always have each other's backs. And, you know, you look at it like when DX had the titles. They had the tag title. They had the heavyweight title. They had the Intercontinental title. Like, that's the same thing that is going on right now.
And it's funny to me, I'm like watching social media after NXT Wednesday night, and a lot of people are saying, oh, now that Velveteen Dream lost that North American Championship, could he be moving over to Raw or SmackDown? I'm like, NXT needs Velveteen Dream, and why would you want? If you're Velveteen Dream, you're probably going to be ultimately the top star on that brand.
Yeah, I mean, we got to stop thinking about NXT being developmental. And
yep.
I mentioned this earlier, and you know, we're going to talk about that later about Kenny Omega. This is not a developmental brand. Like, the Performance Center is the developmental. NXT is a program that's on a major network with major bona fide stars that people know who they are, and they pulled a 1.2 million rating. That's not a developmental brand.
No, it's not. And you mentioned Kenny Omega, and recently in an interview, and Alex, where was that interview again? Sports Kita website? He had this to say about NXT, Mark, and I want to get your take on it. Oh wait, do you have the actual audio? I'll play it for us. Thank you.
I'm going to war with these dudes that if we were on the same show together, you know, the same show and the same promotion, let's pretend there were no wars. Let's pretend there were no promotions. Let's just pretend there's one big promotion. If these guys were on the same show as me, they'd be in the dark match. They'd be in the opening match or my main event match. You're going to call that a war? You're going to call that competition? Go ahead. I mean, maybe if it's fun for you to do, that's cool. But we're different planets, and you're going to see that right away when you see 10,000 plus arenas sold out. You're going to see smiles on fans' faces, and when you're going to see real stars, not developmental talent, but real stars appearing in your television sets everywhere.
Mark, what do you think about those comments from Kenny Omega?
You know, I thought it was low class. I thought that, you know, Kenny kind of overstepped the bounds. That's the one thing about the Attitude Era. Even though we had disagreements, you know, with the WWE war, it never was about the talent. It was about the brands. It was about the companies. And now Kenny made it personal about the talent, and that's ridiculous. Like, there's people on that roster that he calls, you know, pros, and those are developmental guys that I guarantee you they know more about time cues, they know more about spacing and camera angles than over, except for the top eight guys on their roster. They have a top eight, but I guarantee you 40 deep on NXT, they know everything that the top eight knows. And he should kind of give a, you know, an apology. Like that's it's disrespectful to the talent. Whatever you say about the companies, say whatever you want. It's just going to build for both brands. It's good for us as fans. But when you make a personal attack against a talent, that's ridiculous. It's out of bounds. And if somebody walked up to him and said, "Hey man, say that shit to my face," then we're gonna find out like where the brass tacks really are. You know, because you know if it was me and I was an active talent, like he might have to sue me because I'm gonna whoop that ass when I see him in the streets.
Now he talks about war. Now let's just say this was a war on Wednesday nights, and I guess now you have to say it is when you have talents actually speaking like this.
Yeah, but it's not a war of the talent.
Well,
the talents are employees of the brands, and that's that. You never saw, not once did you see a case where Hulk Hogan said, "Oh, Triple H is garbage. Steve Austin is garbage. Or The Rock, he sucks. If he came over to WCW, he wouldn't be a star." That's garbage, man. You don't do that. That's low class. And Kenny is better than that. Like, I'm a fan of his. You know, so it hurt me when I heard him say that. Not from the standpoint of I'm a WWE guy, because I like AEW too. Cody is one of my favorite people in this world. I respect Chris Jericho as much as I respect anybody that's ever wrestled. So, because my relationship with the talent, but when it comes to what company that you work for, then that's where the heat is. You put it on the brand.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't. He attacked the boys. And when I say the boys, I mean everybody, girls included. We're all the boys.
Yep.
Becky's the man, we're all the boys. And you don't attack the boys. And if some brand, some media outlet attacked a wrestler, period, of any company, man, I'm coming for their throat, because I'm looking out for everybody. And I thought that was kind of low class.
It's a little bit of poking the bear, too. I mean, probably you just don't want to acknowledge it, but you say that about the talent. I mean, his quote is, "If these guys were in the same show as me, they'd be in the dark match. They'd be in the opening match of my main event match." I mean, that's poking the bear. Isn't it better to just ignore and move on and just have your work talk for itself? But that's obviously not the case with Kenny Omega.
I want to know what he was thinking, and I'm sure that the guys around him are like, "Damn, man, why would you do that?" Now you put the pressure on them. People are going to, you know, pressure bust pipes. There's going to be people that are not used to being on main event TV that are going to fold now. I guarantee you there's going to be something that's going to go wrong. And when stuff – it's not a question of if it goes wrong, but when it goes wrong. And it's hard to recover when you have the pressure on you. Oh man, it's I've done it. I've been there. And luckily I was in the ring with somebody that was more of a veteran than I was in that first 5 years of my career. But man, he's golly. Oh, Kenny.
If you don't know SiriusXM, then listen up. Commercial-free music, plus sports, comedy, talk, and news. They have it all. A lot of people think you need a car to enjoy SiriusXM, but you don't. You can listen outside the car. Right now, you can get your first 3 months of SiriusXM outside the car for just $1. Just go to SiriusXM.com/busted to see offer details and to subscribe. You can listen on your phone, at home, and online. That's SiriusXM.com/busted. Offer available to new SiriusXM streaming subscribers. SiriusXM, no car required.
Mark, somebody that we definitely wanted to touch base with because he has a lot to say and there's a lot going on, and that's a good friend of the show, real one, Enzo, who joins us here right now on Busted Open. How are you today, sir?
We're going to start light and get heavy, all right? So one time I got pulled over by the cops in New Jersey, and, you know, he gets out of the car, looks at me real hard-faced, you know what I mean? And he walks back to his car. And I'm like, oh, man, I'm about to get a ticket. You know what I'm saying? And I told him who I was. You know, I said, I'm Enzo Amore. I grew up around the corner from here. I've been from New Jersey. Sure enough, dude, the whole squadron pulls up. And he had been working me. And he just wanted to get all the squad over there so that they could take a photo op at the McDonald's on Route 17 with me.
Is that the is that the McDonald's in Mahwah?
The McDonald's? No, the McDonald's on Route 17 in Paramus.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, it was a Paramus police officer, and shout out to the Paramus police. They showed up thick. I took a picture back when I was the Cruiserweight champ with the title, and I got sent to him from Raw the next day. So it was timing was crazy.
Got one last usage.
I got a picture of me doing my holding my title up in the air with like 20 cops in Paramus.
That's pretty cool. Fun.
That's awesome.
That's pretty good. Across from the old Tower Records, right? That McDonald's?
Exactly. You nailed it, baby. And my dad's a DJ, you know, so I spent my childhood in that Tower Records. I mean, my dad had cases, and he would take the plastic cases and put them into little, you know, sleeves, you know, velvet sleeves. And then he would categorize all the CDs by, you know, by alphabetical order. And, you know, my dad, he'd be spinning, and he'd turn around, and he'd be like, you know, I need so-and-so for this CD, and I'd go through all the CDs and I'd find the right single, because at the time, you know, you'd go to Kmart and you'd buy the single, the radio single, or you'd go to Tower Records to buy the album, and if the single came out that day, it might sell out, so you had to get to the record store, you know?
That's it, man. Wow. I miss the record stores, man. Days. Oh, geez, you brought back memories.
Yeah, man, it was crazy. It's crazy, man. I love Tower Records. I you know, I think that they do like a pop-up one out in L.A. They make like a Tower Records for one day. You go in there and it's just like old school.
I still get the physical copy of music. These guys were making fun of me before because I still get the CDs. I still get the vinyl. I love having the physical copy of my music.
Just as a collection
it's
piece?
It's old school for sure, brother. You're in the Stone Age.
I'm old, dude. I'm 48, man.
I mean, the second my father went digital, he sold and got rid of every one of those CDs. I mean, there's DJs across the country who have taken, you know, $10,000, $20,000 hits when we went digital.
Wow.
Man, that sucks.
Records and CDs, you know what I mean? You went from records, DJs had all these records, and they'd have to, you know, bring a case with all the records in it to all their gigs. And you'd have to hire help to be carrying the CD. There used to be a real art, matching the beats per minute, lining them up, getting the music going. You know, it's funny because I grew up in it. My whole family's DJs, and I didn't even, like, realize it was a skill. You know what I'm saying?
It was just something that the family did. It's family business.
I mean, it's my dad, man. I'd be sitting there getting ready to go to a show in Madison Square Garden with my grandpa, you know, you go watch wrestling as a kid, and my dad would be DJing every weekend, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And he wouldn't be DJing in nightclubs. He'd be doing, like, weddings, bar mitzvahs, bat mitzvahs, and stuff like that. Back in the day, you would put your mixes down on CD. So you would sit there and spin your records or your CDs, and you would spin them in order of the songs that you would want to play. Let's say you had a set that was rock. And you'd be at a wedding, and you wanted 8 songs to play in a row at the wedding and be mixed perfectly, you could go mix that down so that when you're at the wedding, you just play that.
That's awesome, wow. Man. Hey, dude, we could do this all day, but I know you wanted. We wanted you to join us today, and I know you wanted to join the show today to kind of use our platform in a very positive way. I know that there's been a lot of news, a lot of rumors about things that's been going on over the last couple of weeks that you definitely wanted to address.
Yes, absolutely. As I think the world knows, I have a best friend and a tag team partner in pro wrestling, William Patrick Morrissey III, better known to the world as Big Cass or the Kaz XL. We are a tag team in life. We are best friends, and he's been wide open about his issues with depression, anxiety, and addiction to alcohol. I think that the world kind of knows, if you're a wrestling fan, that traveling and being on the road a lot for a guy like Mark Henry isn't easy. You know what I mean? Mark, you could attest to that. Yeah. And you've seen so many people in our business in pro wrestling over the years who have struggled with mental health issues. And
self-destruct.
For a pro wrestler in going from being on the road like, you know, we were 200, 300 days in a year traveling on airplanes and living, you know, such highs and such lows from walking in and out of a wrestling ring in front of millions and thousands and fans going nuts or fans booing you, which can play with people's psyche. And I think that we've seen over and over again in our business that there isn't much of an exit plan and there isn't much of a way to deal with the travel, the bruises, the bumps, the nicks on the road. And let's face it, in pro wrestling, you get paid to wrestle. So being hurt or being depressed or missing work isn't going to get you paid. And we've seen it over and over again in our industry, guys like Test, guys who have become addicted to alcohol or addicted to pills and the struggle of coming off of a surgery and getting handed a bottle of pills and then being on the road and trying to get back in the ring. It's just not easy, and it takes its toll. And I was the best friend of a guy who, when we would travel around the world in the WWE, whether it was a Southwest flight or whether it was, a Delta United flight, guys like Mark Henry deserved to be sitting in first class. Big Show, Kane, and there's only a limited amount of seats. And we'd be on flights, and I'd see Big Cass in the second to last row on the airplane and curled up in an aisle seat and stand in half the flight. You know what I mean? And he would take to the bottle and he would start drinking. And we'd land in India and, he'd have to go shrug it off at the hotel room because it's a hard way of life. And I saw it unfold and it took its toll on him when me and him were separated. In real life, we had a falling out. That was pretty well publicized, when we broke up in real life, we kind of broke up on TV. We kind of broke up in real life and we didn't speak to each other for over a year. When Big Cass had a seizure, most recently after his firing in the WWE, I had not spoken to Big Cass in well over a year, nearly 2 years. And it was a hard thing to deal with at a business that is so something that we love to do so much, so passionate about. There's so much passion involved and so much testosterone that, we as men can let the business be bigger than friendship. And to me, I'll never let that happen again. And I learned my lesson that I have a friend for life in Big Cass. And, when you've seen somebody at their lowest and you've seen somebody at their highest and you've experienced highs in the business of pro wrestling with another guy that maybe nobody's ever experienced before, there's a bond there. And I think that what he's going through right now, he needs friends more than he needs anything. And it's been tough for me because he did not want to be outspoken about his mental struggles and his mental health. So, his friends, his near family, sibling, his sisters, they've had to deal with this personally, and he has sought help. And that, to me, is the number one thing that needs to happen, because they say a lot of the times, and I don't know that this holds true, because I'm in a good place, and I've been in a good place for quite some time. I consider myself blessed. I'm a very spiritual guy. I do have a lot of God in my life. My mother and my grandmother grew up in the church, and I was a bad kid, so I was forced to do the same. So I just think that through finding spirituality, we're not going to see or hear from Big Cass for quite some time. I don't know when or if he'll ever be ready to come back out into the limelight and the spotlight, but I know that there was an incident occurred most recently, and it was because he didn't reach out for help. Okay. I wouldn't let a day or two go by without talking to him. And if I did not speak to Big Cass for 1 or 2 days, I would hop on a flight and I would go meet him wherever he was and pop up and drag him out of whatever mental hell and physical hell he was putting himself through, because depression is a serious, serious battle. And people who are fighting it are just like me and you. And some of them are hiding it. And while you can act like everything's good and fine and all right, I just need people to know out there that guys like Tyson Fury, who can come out and battle this thing and come out on top, that Big Cass is in the same situation. He's a big guy. He's a tough guy. And you know what? He's vulnerable right now because he wants the world to know that if I can struggle with this thing, then it's okay that you can too. And the number one thing you need to do if you're battling depression and anxiety is be there for one another. It's to not bring people down with hatred. You know, I can sit here and tell you how thick my skin is, and I can sit here and tell you about all the things that have been said about me that don't bother me. But then again, you know, I didn't even realize it myself that it's inspiring when, you know, you get everything taken away from you in life and you come back out of it, because to me, I didn't do anything wrong. So I was in my mind saying, if you don't have anything to apologize for, don't. I didn't realize that it inspires people because the world can bring you down. And I refuse to let the world bring me down, and I refuse to let it take down my tag team partner. And I think that each day is a blessing. And when Big Cass wakes up in the morning and he's questioning why he's alive, that's something that I can't relate to, but I have to understand. So I've learned to understand, and that hell is a hell almost as deeply saddened as a physical disease that people have, that you can see. If you see somebody that's fighting a disease, you can understand it. But when you don't know what they're fighting on the inside, it's hard to understand. And I've had to learn to understand that I just can't relate. And while you can't relate, it doesn't mean that you can't be there for that person. Try to understand and help them up. And that's what life is about. When somebody gets knocked down, you know, it's on the other person to help stand them up. And I think I have a community of fans who watched physically a big guy 7 foot tall get knocked down. And yeah, he probably hit his head a few times. I don't know what the extent of which all this, you know, we've heard Roddy Piper in interviews say no wrestler lives to 65. Well, I'll be damned, because I want to see Big Cass live well past 65, and I want to talk about these things with him that we achieved over the years. And when I look at them, I don't want to be mad that it's over. I want to be happy that it happened, right? I think so oftentimes people have opinions, and they want to not relish on their accomplishments or not look back and be happy about things. Instead, they look at memories and they make them sad. I've tried to explain to Big Cass, you've accomplished so much in your lifetime, but there's so much more to accomplish. And while change is challenge, it doesn't mean that change can't be beautiful too. So, you know, the struggle is real in anything that it is that you do. And we didn't become pro wrestlers in the WWE overnight, bro. It takes work, it takes time, and it takes its toll. And if you're willing to put the fight in, there's always something beautiful on the other end of it. And you got to believe that good things happen to good people. And while bad things happen to good people too, there's a reason for it. And I have good faith that big Cass will get, and you know, the Cass XL now known as, will get picked up by his fans. So what I would love to do through this platform, whether it be Busted Open, you know, I have social, Cass has social. He's going to be gone for a while and off of social media. But I want him to know that, you know, while social media, I believe, is a disease in and of itself and it's bad, and I have fun tooling with it to pick and pry from people's emotions, I truly see how it can affect people in a negative way. So, you know, rather than seeing a picture and calling somebody fat or seeing a picture and saying something negative in the comments, I just entice people today on social to lift somebody up, whether it's somebody that they know or maybe somebody going through a struggle. It's real, because people do pick up on their phone. We're cyborgs now, okay? That phone is a part of you, all right? You are half AI, you know, and the internet is at your fingertips. And our voices are louder now than they ever were before. And people want to be heard. Well, Big Cass isn't going to hear anything because he's going to be gone for a while. So what I'd like to do is set up I will on social media set up a place for you guys to get your letters over to Big Cass and let him know that you're either going through something similar or you understand what he's going through, because depression and anxiety is a serious, serious battle. And when somebody goes through it, it doesn't matter how much money they have, doesn't matter what they've achieved, doesn't matter how great life may seem, doesn't matter what's going on around them. It's a disease. And I do believe there's a remedy to it, and I think it's prayer. And I am a naysayer. Amen. I'm a naysayer of people who sit here and tell me the energy of manifestation and words isn't all powerful. Okay, I know it is. You're talking to a guy who went out in front of hundreds of thousands of people and millions of people and said things that were echoed back to him. And that manifestation of a reality was real for me, and it was real for Big Cass. And, you know, I know wrestling isn't real, and the characters we played were characters. That is exactly what they are. We were handed a script. We were on a television show. We were able to be ourselves to a degree. But, you know, at the end of the day, people mince reality with that world of, you know, let's just be honest, it's not real. So I oftentimes want people to be able to separate the real Eric from Enzo Amore, but I do make it so difficult for people at times because I can work people up into a tizzy on the internet playing up this character that I've created, because I understand that the internet is a means to get the world to write about you, to write articles, to say things and elicit reactions. And I got to tell you, any publicity is good publicity unless you're getting accused of something, you know. But and we're well past the point now where we're thinking about publicity. This isn't about publicity. This is about real life. So you're hearing
Enzo.
From Eric, right?
I want to help out. I think that, you know, when we talk about situations like this, we hardly ever have solutions for the problem. There is a solution. You know, Diamond Dallas Page is one of the guys in the wrestling business that's done a lot with helping people that are having problems. And I hear that he is on the case. Also, the WWE is going to be helping out, you know, with those bills and getting him help.
I would like to send an extended thank you to the WWE for this situation. I know I got to thank DDP because he's been there for me with this situation that I've been battling with my best friend, and more importantly, he's been there for my best friend. But you know, the phone is a beautiful thing, and when you pick it up and another person is dependable and answers that phone and has no other reason to do so other than out of the pureness of their heart, I can never thank DDP enough times for helping out Big Cass. And he's gotten in touch with the WWE on our behalf and let them know that he's been helping Big Cass and that there's an issue here that needs to be, you know, remedied through, you know, self-esteem here, because anxiety and depression is a disease. And sometimes that disease is onset from a multitude of things. And there's a company out there in the WWE that took some responsibility here and did the right thing and sent Big Cass to the best doctors that they could. And we're hoping that this is the solution, and you never quite know. So back to you, Mark. I just wanted to say thank you to both those people, the WWE and DDP.
You're very welcome. Our platform is your platform as it relates to pro wrestling. I want to introduce you to Jay Glazer, who's on Fox as an analyst, fight coach. Jay wears many hats, but the hat that I love the most is his MVP program. I spoke at the MVP program Wednesday, and this program is professional athletes that suffer from drug addiction, that have PTSD, that have tried to commit suicide, and they mix those guys with the guys and girls from the military who come back and don't have a support system, try to commit suicide, you know, abuse alcohol and drugs. And Jay Glazer he has this program called MVP, and they put them together. And a lot of people don't know who Jay Glazer is as it relates to the human being. They just know the guy in sports. But he is one of God's chosen people because just like DDP, he wants to help people, not because of he's getting something out of it. I sat next to him when we spoke Wednesday, and he just kept wringing his hands and clapping his hands, getting goosebumps when people spoke. I'm looking over at this guy, and I'm just amazed. I'm like, man, this is what it's like to be around heaven. It must be what it feels like, because like all of these people pouring their souls out, how they could try to kill themselves, and how family members distanced themselves from him because he's, and some of the people were like, man, they're justifiably so. They should have distanced themselves. I tried to steal their TV. I tried to break in their house. I stole a car. Like, man, I was just like, wow. You know, like, this is unbelievable. But I want to get Kaz with Jay and in the MVP program. Once he's out, and he's able to be around other soldiers and athletes that are able to. And I'm going to call Jay this afternoon again and remind him about this, because I talked to him about it yesterday. And just get the ball in motion. So I'm going to put him in contact with you and let you and DDP handle the rest of the situation. But if I could be of any service, you know, you have my number. You can call me. We're here to help y'all out.
Yeah, I appreciated that more than you'll ever know, and that was a beautiful sentiment. I couldn't agree with everything you just said more, and that's an amazing person and an amazing thing that he's doing, and I would love to get involved in that in any capacity in which I can. I've never saw life taking its course the way that it did, but I do believe God's plan. God's got a plan, and I do believe He has a big one for me. And I don't know exactly what it is, but I know that it involves my best friend.
Nor should you. You just have to comply.
Yeah,
that's it's like stepping out on faith and not getting out of your own head and not being directed. And I'm not going to make this a religious show right now, but I'm just saying.
Yeah, I just think that spirituality is so important, because we are, as humans, spiritual entities. And it doesn't matter what God you're praying to. It doesn't matter if you believe in a God. Just believe that there's a higher energy and that life has a purpose. And you can seek it and create your own reality and yes, touch as many lives as you want. The only one that's stopping you is you. And that mental health barrier that is created in your own mind is a terrible thing. And I just want to inspire as many people as I can through my best friend by seeing him get back on his feet. And that's what brought me back into pro wrestling. When I was cut down in my prime due to a false accusation that was proven in a police report to be just that, I was never contacted by police one time, never called on the phone, contacted through email. They could have called me if they thought that a threat was real out here, but I do believe that when something like that happens, that they put a warrant out for your arrest and you're arrested for it. But in this day in society, sometimes you're innocent, you know, you're guilty until proven innocent. And that's unfortunate, because it's the same people that are typing things on the internet that are bringing people down, hurting people, and causing, you know, a bad effect in our society in mental health. And I want to be a voice that lets people know that anything that they believe is possible can be accomplished, that the only one stopping them from accomplishing their dreams and living the life they've always imagined is themselves. I'm one who was fortunate enough to do it and didn't even realize it happened until it was over. And in retrospect, when I look at my wrestling career, while I was so bitter that it ended and I wanted to step away from wrestling forever because I was so content with what I accomplished, now I look and I have a new reason to get back into the ring. I have a new reason to inspire people. I have a new reason to see through this process of seeing Big Cass back on his feet, back into a wrestling ring. And it's a beautiful thing how life works and how you're able to inspire people. And there's silver lining in all of this, because, you know, if I had not got fired by the WWE and Big Cass had not got fired by the WWE, we wouldn't be doing this right now. And there's a bigger and greater goal here. And we have voices, we have platforms, and it's our jobs to use them to inspire people, to create awareness for suicide prevention, and to allow people to know that no matter how big, strong you may look on the outside, you can be as vulnerable as anybody on the inside, and it's okay. It's okay.
Well, I'll tell you one thing right now, just judging from social media as we've been doing this interview, is I know our fans have been, I mean, an unbelievable, Mark, outpouring by our nation's fans that want to help, want to do something, are loving what the words and the stories that we're sharing right now. So already, in just this 20 minutes that we've been talking, you're using this platform the best way possible.
The brother needs help. And, we got to support him. Don't be so negative on social media. Let's not be the bullies. Let's try to come up with a solution, guys.
Yeah, I think so oftentimes people pass judgment. And, I mean, sometimes you just got to look at yourself in the mirror. And, you know, while people say bad things to Big Cass, I let them know, you know, Big Cass, you know, I know that this isn't about them. This is about you, man. So, you know, you have personally, I have seen light up people's worlds, Cass. I have literally watched you, and people have met you and broke down in tears hugging you because you've inspired them. Like, and I was so proud of him through this process because he is being true to it. The video that came out through DDPY was real. And Big Cass said in that video, hey, man, my struggle is real. And because of it, he said those words, you know, I think that people anticipated that he was going to come out of this thing unscathed and on the other end of it clean right away. But it's not that easy. And he had a hiccup. And while we didn't want to let the world know about his hiccups, and I was doing everything I could to, you know, in good faith, be the best friend I could, it all came to a boiling point this past Saturday at a wrestling show that Big Cass showed up to, and he was not himself. He was not in his right mind, and he did not have his support system in Enzo and, you know, Doug Lawson, who's been outspoken. Doug Lawson is, the autograph representative agent for autographs for Ray Lewis, Michael Strahan, Tony Gonzalez, and Deion Sanders. And he saw Big Cass in an autograph signing, and he walked up to him and he said, hey, man, my name's Doug. I'm the autograph agent for Ray Lewis, and that's why I'm here today. And I'm a huge Enzo and Cass fan, not a WWE fan. I'm a huge Enzo and Cass fan. And what I'm looking at right now is a guy that I don't even recognize. You look depressed, and I want to help you because that's what I do. I help people. And Big Cass wanted to punch this guy in the face. But that week he called me, man, and he called me five times, and I had not spoke to him in 2 years. And I talked to my mother, and she prayed on it, and she said to me, you absolutely need to call him back. And I called Big Cass back, and I heard a guy on the phone that I never met before in my life. He was broken. And he decided after having that autograph signing and meeting that guy, Doug, to try to better his life. And he, for the first time after speaking to me, went to that House of Hardcore show with Tommy Dreamer, where he had a seizure, and it was handled beautifully by Bubba and Tommy Dreamer. And he went to a hospital, and from that day, he went to go live with Doug. And then I went to go visit him. And then I helped him in Tampa. And then I went to Chicago with him. And then we went around the world, and I just tried to be there for a guy that needed to be there for himself. And that's a hard thing to explain to people when somebody wakes up in the morning and they just don't want to live. And they wonder why God didn't take their life in the night. And they're literally drinking to try to kill themselves. I mean, drinking is the worst disease. I mean, I can't even begin to tell you. I would tell Cass all the time, because I'm not a big drinker. I'm not, like, I'll go out there and bend my elbow with a good brother and have a good wild time on a private jet or something. But, like, I'm not out here drinking in my house. I'm not going to the bar down the street. And Big Cass, he wasn't drinking to go out and have a good time with people. He wasn't out there trying to rock and roll. He was drinking in an apartment by himself because he didn't want to wake up in the morning. And that is a hard thing to ever register in your brain and try to understand if you've never done it yourself or experienced those lows. But the fact that he's been open about it, the fact that he wants the help, he wants the change, and he looked me in the eyes, you know, after this incident occurred on Saturday, I went and picked him up, and we flew straight to Tampa, and he went to go get himself better. And, you know, that was arranged through me and DDP. And I'm just saying to myself, man, I'm looking at a guy, and he's looking at me, and all he says to me is, I just want to be happy. I just want to be happy. He doesn't care about anything else. He doesn't care about the money, the millions of dollars in his bank account. He doesn't care about the cars, the women. He just wants to be happy. Wow. I mean, wow.
Everybody deserves that happiness. There's not one person on this earth that doesn't deserve to be happy. And you mentioned about, now he's off social media, which I think is the best thing. You mentioned about writing letters. How can our fans that want to be a little bit of a push and a little bit of an inspiration to get those good thoughts out, you know, how can our fans get in touch?
So basically, within the next 24 hours, I'll be posting on social media for a place so that the world can, you know, go send their you know, happiness to Big Cass or their sadness to Big Cass and relate to him, to build him up, to bring him and let him know that he's in their thoughts, he's in their prayers, and they have his back. So I don't have the exact address to his location right now. I will be making it, you know, I'll make it able so that people can get their mail to him. I promise that. I'll just put it on social media within the next 24 hours. We have an amazing manager named Mickey Hartz. That's his work name. But, you know, Brandon is an incredible guy, and they're right there in New York City on Broadway. And he works alongside our manager, Barry Bloom, who's, you know, Mark probably knows, is a wrestling agent. And they both have Cass's back in this equation, and we've sought out ways in which we'll be able to reach him, and he'll be able to reach us. So I'll put that out there, the information, when I speak to my managers, and we're going to get a way for you people to communicate with him, lift him up. And when I'm at these shows now, because, you know, Big Cass had a lot of wrestling bookings coming up over the past month or two, and I'll be doing all those bookings. So I'll be in all the places that Big Cass was supposed to be and all the places that me and him were supposed to be. And I'm going to be doing something different. You know, I know that I know how to wrestle and I know how to play the character of Enzo really well. And I'm going to be Eric, and I'm going to pick up a microphone for free. You know, if you know something about me, Mark, man, that's on the indie scene. You either pay me to wrestle, or you pay me to talk, or you pay me to sign autographs. But each one of those things is separate. So I'm going to be picking up a microphone as Eric at any and all opportunities I can with rooms full of people. And I'm going to entice anybody who has an issue to come to my meet and greets, to come meet me, come talk to me. I will take all the time in the world to sit there and speak to you. I do it at every one of these meet and greets already, and so did Big Cass. And I was so proud of a man that was answering the call on social media. When you have a million followers, 500,000 followers, these things, they come in mass abundance. If you're sitting there and you're taking the time to answer people or to let them know that you're here for them, and you're no different than them, all right? We're stars, we're celebrities, but you hear about celebrities who commit suicide all the time. You hear, yep. And that's what we're, you know what I mean? We're here to try to help, all right? I'm a celebrity and I'm approachable. And I've always been that. Mark, you've seen me in every you know, after every show, waiting there to say hello to my fans. If it wasn't for my fans, I wouldn't have a job, and neither would Big Cass, and we wouldn't have a dollar to our name, and I understand that. And now it's time for us to give back and help. So I'll be in Baltimore at the PPW show tonight to sign autographs and do a meet and greet. I'm going to grab the microphone, and I'm going to let people know that Big Cass is all right, and he's going to be all right, because we, as fans, and me as a friends, family, fans, they're all one and the same. Straight ups in my life, if you're great at me, all right?
So Eric, listen, I'm saying Eric because you said you're going to be going to them and talking to them as Eric. I want to be you. And to represent yourself as well as representing Cass. And I don't want you to be apologetic because it's an issue that he needs to be helped. And I'm sure it'll be his place to apologize when that time comes to the people that he feel like he hurt or disrespected or whatever. But you right now have come across as the greatest friend that I know. And you should be commended for standing up for your friend and to trying to help your friend, which we are supposed to do, and we shouldn't expect to get a pat on the back. But I'm giving it because it warms my heart. And I love to see us as a brotherhood stand up for each other. And I got a little pissed off early in the show because Kenny Omega made a comment about other wrestlers as a negative. And we just don't do that. Like, we need to be doing this. We need to be lifting each other up and trying to support each other, regardless of what company we work for. At the end of the day, we all we have to take this to another level. And right now, you may not be wrestling, but I guarantee you there won't be a dry eye in the house if you get out there and say, look, I love my brother. I'm here to help him, and I want y'all to support him too.
Absolutely. I think that, you know, there's so many fans out there that relate, man. They're going through it themselves. And that was the beauty in what it is that we did as pro wrestlers that I never let leave my mind and my body. When I went through that curtain, I always thought to myself about being an 8-year-old kid with my grandpa watching the curtain call in Madison Square Garden, because when that curtain call happened, it really did break kayfabe for me. I was in the arena, and I saw Hunter Hearst Helmsley get into the ring with Razor Ramon, Diesel, and Shawn Michaels, and I just couldn't understand why he was in the ring. He was a bad guy. And I just kept asking my dad, what happened? The whole ride home, Bob Backlund beating Diesel in 7-8 seconds. I was in the arena for that. And in my mind, I wasn't thinking about anything other than what I was watching and wrestling. And my father and my grandpa wasn't thinking about the IRS. They weren't thinking about issues that they have, depression, anxiety. In the arena, there was dozens, if not hundreds and thousands of fathers and grandfathers with their kids, and they weren't thinking about anything other than that. That's what we do as pro wrestlers. We walk into an arena, and we allow you to suspend disbelief, have fun, be a part of the show, and we allow for you to escape the reality that is the tough, you know, issues of life that people succumb to so often, that we just allow you to reprieve yourself from just a moment, man. And it feels so real, and it's so beautiful, and I love our art. And for any opportunity for people out here to make a living, the business is thriving and booming right now, and that's all I want. If you're a kid out there that aspires to be a pro wrestler, just know you can do it too. The only one stopping you is you, and there's a place to make money doing it. And it doesn't have to be the WWE. There's plenty of other places, and I've learned that now since I left the WWE and I started doing these shots with Big Cass and signing these autographs in these arenas and in these armories and in these stadiums and baseball arenas and NEW, Mike Lombardi, who's given us a great opportunity in the Northeast to engage with our fans. It's just real. I mean, it's real. You people out there that love pro wrestling, you're loving it for all the reasons that we as performers love it, because we're not thinking about that stuff either. When you're in the arena and you're an 8-year-old kid, and you're so infatuated with what's going on, your dad is looking at you and loving the opportunity that he had to make this, you know, American pastime such a beautiful thing in your life. I'm in the ring, and I'm feeling that same thing, man. I'm not thinking about my troubles and my worries, and that was the thing for Big Cass. It was the only time that Big Cass felt alive, felt normal, because when he's in the ring, he's not thinking about anything else, and that's where he lives, and that's where I want to see his passion.
Well, we need to see him happy. I think at the end of the day, he needs to find himself, and he needs to find happiness, and I think we're on the road to do that. Eric, you always have this platform anytime, and please keep us updated, and when you get that address and on social media, please let us know so we can give it to our fans. And man, we just appreciate you sharing this, and we love you, and give our love to him as well. And thank you so much for coming on today.
Yep, let's see him back on his feet, back in a ring where he is happy, baby. Let's go.
All right, man. Thanks so much, and God bless.
Thanks for listening. Catch us weekdays on Busted Open from 9 a.m. to 12 p.m. Eastern on SiriusXM. Fight Nation, Channel 156. The Busted Open Podcast.